Excuse me a minute. That's a little better. Morning, everyone. Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Morrison. Thanks for coming over to be with us today. I'm glad the snow didn't hold us in. 2 weeks without services is hard to do. Well, it's hard to believe that yet another year has come to a close. It's now the year 2013. Sounds science fiction, doesn't it? Isn't that hard to believe? A lot of things have happened, and a lot of things didn't happen in the year 2012. Let me read to you a few things that did not happen. The world did not come to an end on December 21st. There was no rapture that some had believed would happen. The U.S. dollar is not holding its value. And there was no sustainable economic growth. World peace was not achieved. How about some of the things that did happen? Social unrest continues to spread like wildfire across our country. The UN reported that a fourth of all global land has declined in productivity. And the time is running out to ensure that there's enough water, food, and energy to support the global population. Climatologists report that the record-breaking 2012 drought continues to worsen, and that over one-fifth of the U.S. still is suffering from extreme drought. Superstorm Sandy swamped the Northeast. A few weeks ago, 17 tornadoes hit all in the same day in the South in areas that wasn't normal. Scientists report that the new weather patterns of super and mega storms are now the normal. They are here to stay, and they're going to continue to worsen. That's our new weather patterns. Wars and conflicts are escalating in the Middle East with no signs of an end and only signs of worsening. Mass murder shootings happened in Colorado, Connecticut, and New York, killing children. Gun sales smash all previous records. And most of those sales of those guns are going to people with families because they want to protect themselves, because they believe that there is something coming down and they want to protect their families. Unfamiliar, uncomfortable, out of the ordinary, dangerous things are happening around us. Some of the men that I work with are even asking me, might this be what the Bible's talking about? Is the end coming? The world is witnessing stressful events that they don't understand, and they are afraid. What about us? Are we afraid? Are we allowing fear to take hold of us? Should we be afraid? Unlike most of the world, we know that every day that passes puts us one day closer to the end and the chaos it'll bring to this world. Could some of what we are seeing now be the start? Some of us might be excited, not because the world is suffering, but because we are hoping that maybe it is time for things to start. Some of us might be thinking, nothing's really happening yet. There's a lot to happen. Some of us might be fearing that things really are starting to happen. I'd like to get back to an earlier question I asked. Are we afraid? Do we fear end-time events? Does thinking about end-time events stress us out? If the answer is yes to one or all the above, what can we do about it? Let's first consider what fear is. There are two types of fear. One type of fear is the feeling of reverence, awe, and respect. This is a healthy fear. as in the way we show towards God. The other type of fear is an unpleasant emotion brought on by danger or the element of the unknown. This is harmful fear. This harmful fear is one of the ones that can cause distress. Most of the time when we hear a message on fear, we hear about the healthy fear, the fearing of God. But with all the things that are going around us in the world today, I thought it would be helpful if today we considered the other type of fear, the fear that causes stress. So what then is fear? Well, it is an emotion induced by perceived threat. This kind of fear can produce false evidence appearing real. This type of fear is an emotional reaction. Fear usually takes hold of us when we allow our minds to consider the negative possibilities of the unknown. It can be a mind killer. It can consume us to where we're not even focused on the right things. Fear destroys confidence, and fear causes doubt and unrest. And we don't ever want to be in danger of letting fear destroy our confidence in God, do we? We're not born with fear. God didn't put that into our mental makeup. Fear is learned. I'd like to read to you some quotes that I found when I was researching the subject of fear. The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown. H.P. Lovecraft. A German proverb says, fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. And probably the most famous fear quote of all time is FDR's quote in his first inaugural address. And that is, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Then I found one I really liked. There is much in the world that makes us afraid. There is much more in our faith that makes us unafraid. Frederick W. Kropp. So what does God have to say about fear? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Paul's encouraging Timothy as he's starting his ministry. He's training Timothy, and it's all, we can also take this as training for ourselves. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can't allow fears to choose for us how we're going to feel or what we're going to do. If we find ourselves starting to fear things, what can we do? There are several things we can do. I've come up with three to share today. First of all, we can believe and have faith in God's promises. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, and we'll read verse 25. And it reads, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, except for the end times. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? And you won't find that anywhere else in the Bible either. Let's get back and read it for what it really said. Proverbs 3:25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. In verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And God doesn't want us to fear. And He does promise to protect us from danger. I like what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9 when he was about to lead the Israelites into the promised land right after Moses died. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, that's an awesome promise. That should still instill a lot of encouragement to us. A lot of confidence. If we trust God fully and place our lives into His care, then fear and anxiety cannot attach itself to us. Our ability to confront fear is very important. Because if we back away and do nothing, fear can dominate our thinking and emotions and derail us from the things we should be focused on. Remember, God promises to take care of us, and there is nothing that is beyond His control. Second thing that can help us is love cast out all fears. Love cast out all fears. Let's turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, and we'll read verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Well, we can take from this that we need to be growing in godly love, agape love. Godly love is not an emotion, it's the actions. It's following His will. Sometime make a study of 1 Corinthians 13. This is where we'll find all the characteristics of God's love listed. By showing God we love one another, we are showing God that we love Him. We do this by serving one another, spending time with one another, encouraging one another. Have discussions. Share knowledge. These things, we can get through all the tough times that are ahead. The Bible warns us at the end of the time that the love of money will get cold. And we can't let that happen to us. Love is a great source of strength. For the last point, I'll keep it short and to the point because we hear it all the time, but it is essential to everything. Prayer. Please turn to Psalm 34, and we'll read verse 4. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. When we pray to God and make our needs made known to Him, He'll answer us. He'll provide to us all our needs. God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to trust Him. Prayer is key. Brethren, we don't know when the actual end time events will happen, but we do live in difficult, challenging times, and we do know what to watch for, and there are fearful things to come. But let me just say this. We do not have to fear. I would encourage us all to read Psalm 91. It's a great chapter in God's promises of protection. It's an encouraging chapter. The Bible is full of scripture after scripture telling us we don't have to fear. Why we don't have to fear? All we have to do is live and believe in God's promises. When the end finally does make itself known, be excited. Embrace it. Don't be afraid. It's what we've been waiting for. Remember the encouraging words found in Luke 12:32, where it says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God." Have a great Sabbath.